It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is pretty much officially fantasy football season, if you ask me. Everywhere I go, everybody you talk to, they are into it. Preseason week one starts this weekend, which is when we'll really start to get a feel for some of these young guys, especially new guys in new places. And then maybe Evan will change the tiers of Evan a little bit based on what he sees. I'm Ross Tucker, journeyman offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. He is Evan Silva, master of all he oversees at rotoworld.com. You can check us out on Twitter always or get in touch with us that way. He's at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. If you just want to tweet Bri because you feel bad for Bri, because you don't really hear from Bri, our producer, he's at RTF Podcast. That's also the first way you'll know when the podcast has dropped, as all the cool kids say. If you're a Facebook-only person, Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. How about this, Evan? I'm such a fantasy football expert now. TV again tonight, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on NBC Sports Network.
Yeah, that's awesome, Ross, and I'm really happy for you, man. I hope you take those other guys down, you know, those Yahoo guys.
Yeah, you know what? Those guys are a bunch of Yahoos. They really are. Boom. Terrible joke that you laughed at. I'll take it. Thank you, Evan. Terrible, corny joke. Anyway, we've got a big, big announcement. Actually, two of them, okay? Today was supposed to be the last contestant for the highly coveted spots in the Fantasy Feast Redraft League. Guess what, though? One of the people that won a while ago, it was the husband and wife couple, they're MIA. We've emailed them. We've done everything we could. I emailed them personally. They don't sign up for the link. They don't sign up for the league. So they're out. You're out. You're out, Tom. You're out. So anyway, we got another spot. So another spot is available next week. Plus, I'm going to give out, I think, 10 more MFL 10 entries, free entries into various MFL My Fantasy League leagues, MFL 10 leagues, but some are MFL 25, MFL 50, and an MFL 100 over the next 2 weeks. So this is gigantic. So I mentioned that, and I'll tell you who the MFL 10 winners are a little bit later, but this is gigantic because all of you still have a chance to get into the Fantasy Feast Redraft League, and you all have a chance at the MFL 10 thing. Here's the thing, though. Everybody, I'll just tell you right now, I'm going to pick people for both things that check out the new College Draft podcast and give us an iTunes ranking and comment. I'll just be honest right now. I'm picking the winners from that. Trying to grow that podcast, get it going. You got to do that. If you want to qualify, if you want to check a box for the final redraft spot or one of the MFL 10 leagues, we need an iTunes ranking and comment for the College Draft podcast and the Fantasy Feast podcast, because that's actually, there's algorithms, a whole bunch of things, but it's a good way for us to have more people know about these podcasts that we have over at rosstucker.com. I'll tell you the MFL 10 winners a little bit later, and Evan will tell you why it's such a big deal. Right now, though, I'll tell you the second to last now Fantasy Feast redraft winner, Bri.
You probably don't care since odds are you aren't in the league, but it's still league standings time.
So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the winner, I can just tell you right now, is Sean Campbell, who's in the U.S. Coast Guard. He's an ET2 electronics technician, U.S. Coast Guard. His email was awesome. He's been all over Twitter and Facebook, all over the email list. He's a father of two. I mean, some of the boats he's been on, a 420, CJC, Weishi. I mean, it's just he's been on a couple cutters. He's been all over the place, does stuff with the Navy. He's been in the Pacific, law enforcement stuff down towards Central America. Pretty awesome. Been listening forever. He listened to me when he was in a city by himself. Anyway, yada, 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 yada. The guy is awesome. And Sean Campbell, congrats. You are now the second to last Fantasy Feast Redraft League participant. Let's get into the tight ends, Bri.
Next meal.
So the tears of Evan are continuing. In fact, Bri, what segment is this again?
No. I don't know who to pick using Tears of Evan.
One more time, Bri. One more time.
And I know I'll be ready for my draft day thanks to Tears of Evan. Da-na-na-na-na.
Anyway, that is the hit that's taking the world by storm, by the way. Love all the social media interaction on that one. We're doing tight ends today. I've never seen this before. Tier one is one dude. Tier two is another dude. Tier one, Rob Gronkowski. Enough said, Evan. Is there anything to comment on there?
Just Gronk eats. Tier two.
Gronk, does Gronk eat big sandwiches that I'd like to eat because I'm too cool to call him a hoagie or a sub or a hero or whatever? He probably does, actually. But he's from Western New York, so he definitely doesn't call it a big sandwich that I like to eat. Tier two, Jimmy Graham by himself. I find this one interesting. To me, you must be banking on either the Seahawks throwing the ball more or just heavy, heavy production from JG in the red zone.
Yeah, just sheer touchdown upside. And, you know, I think that he's a good bet for double-digit TDs, assuming that he stays healthy. And you can't say that about any other tight end besides Gronkowski, that they're a legitimately a good bet for double-digit touchdowns. You know, I don't think that Jimmy Graham will be getting 130 targets per season anymore. I don't think he's going to be flirting with 90 catches in Seattle. But I do think he could catch 75. And I think he can easily score double-digit touchdowns in an offense that frequently gets into the red zone. They don't have high play volume. They don't have high pass attempt volume. But he's going to be, you know, the clear-cut number one passing game target for Russell Wilson. And it's also worth noting that Russell Wilson's pass attempts have inched upward every year he's been in the NFL. And it seems like they've kind of given him more freedom each year. And, you know, when on those broken plays, when Russell Wilson's outside the pocket, you know, Jimmy Graham is going to be towering over little defensive backs and Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse and Tyler Lockett. He's going to be a very inviting target in the middle of the field for Russell Wilson.
So what are we talking here, tier two? I mean, in a 12-team redraft league, are you talking top of round three, round two? Like, where would you say I really like him in this spot?
There are big separations between the first tier, Gronk, who I think you can take as high as you want. You know, I'm not going to argue with you if you took him at 1.01 even. And then there's a big drop off to Jimmy Graham, who I think belongs in the mid to late third round. And then there's a big drop off to tier three as well.
Well, let's get to tier three. Tier three, Travis Kelce, Marty B., Martellus Bennett, Greg Olsen, and Jordan Cameron. So I think
Jordan Cameron, the bane of Ross Tucker's fantasy existence.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this much. I'm not drafting him. I took him in both my leagues last year in large part based on your recommendation. But honestly, I thought he was talented. Hoyer would throw it to the tight end. Their receivers stunk. So, look, you can't predict when a guy's going to get hurt, but it does seem pretty rich for a guy that gets hurt and has the concussion issues to have him in tier three, Evan.
These guys are all spread through the fifth through ninth rounds. So these are your, you know, early mid to middle round tight end picks. Travis Kelce, a lot of people would argue that he belongs in tier two with Jimmy Graham, but there are a lot of obstacles that Travis Kelce faces. I mean, I love this guy's talent. He led the NFL in yards after catch among tight ends, despite ranking like, you know, 25th among tight ends in snaps played. So he's incredibly efficient. And, you know, it's just how many balls are going to go to him? The Chiefs play slow. They don't have high passing volume. They signed a legitimate number one wide receiver in Jeremy Maclin. Albert Wilson, I think, is a kid who's pretty interesting. They use a third round pick on Chris Conley. How many balls is Travis Kelce going to get? You know, is he going to be fed the rock, or is he just going to be, you know, a player where they play spread the wealth offense in Andy Reid? I mean, Andy Reid has a track record of doing that. He doesn't have a lot of guys historically who have humongous target numbers, and that is also the case at tight end. Really, his best tight end has been L.J. Smith a long time ago. Now, Travis Kelce is a much better talent than L.J. Smith was. Is he going to be a guy who catches 65 balls with six TDs? Like, that's not a weekly difference maker for you. Jordan Cameron, we know that he has the ability. His ADP last year was like third, fourth round. This year you can get him eighth, ninth round, and I like the value opportunity there. Martellus Bennett with Kevin White, just a total question mark. I think Martellus Bennett is in a really good position right now in Chicago. Adam Gase, and of course Peyton Manning played a role in this, but in Adam Gase, Denver offenses, they were really good about targeting size in the red zone. Demaryius Thomas was a monster in terms of red zone targets, as was Julius Thomas. I think Martellus Bennett should see a spike in touchdowns. I don't think he's catching 90 balls again. Greg Olsen is a guy that I'm sort of avoiding this year. Last year was really his career best year. He had never topped 850 receiving yards through seven NFL seasons. All of a sudden went over 1,000 last year. They've got Devin Funchess there now. And also a lot of Greg Olsen's an odd amount of his production came with Derek Anderson at quarterback in those two starts. Greg Olsen was a little bit more hit or miss with Cam Newton. So that's my third tier. I think that these are all every week starters, and that's why they're in this tier together. But be careful about overvaluing them. You could there's a chance that you could do just as well, or, you know, get 80% of the production from these guys just by streaming off the waiver wire week to week against defenses that struggle to cover tight ends due to weak linebackers or safeties in pass coverage.
Tier four, we've got Zach Ertz, Delanie Walker, Julius Thomas, Tyler Eifert, Jason Witten. I guess a couple things here. The one that stands out to me is Ertz, because the other guys are all clearly the tight end for their team, whereas that's not the case with Ertz. I mean, Brent Celek, he can't beat him out. I mean, Chip Kelly loves him some Celek.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't even know that it's a competition, you know, and people are forecasting a big leap for Zach Ertz. He's a buyer beware for me. Last year, he only played 50% of the Eagles snaps. He actually is a good run blocker. He really took a step forward last year. He was number six in Pro Football Focus run blocking grades among tight ends. But Brent Celek was number two, and Brent Celek played 70% of the Eagles snaps. So either – and look, Zach Ertz is in my fourth tier. A lot of people would have him higher. I mean, right now his ADP is eighth round. He's going above Jordan Cameron in the Martellus Bennett range. So relatively speaking, I'm low on him. I do acknowledge that he has – I think he has big-time talent. But there's a major playing time concern for Zach Ertz. This is a team that runs three receiver sets as its base offense and has continued to into training camp. So I just – you know, I don't know how many snaps Zach Ertz is going to play. I think that he'll – get a decent amount of targets, you know, because he'll play on passing downs and because he's good, but he misses out on a lot of opportunity being only a halftime player, you know, playing half of the snaps in that offense.
You know, I know why you have him here, but I've seen Dan Scuda, who plays for the Jags now, say that Julius Thomas is the best player on the team, the best player for the Jags. And I've had multiple people tell me that Tyler Eifert, you know, that people that are at the Bengals-Giants scrimmage, you know, joint practices, that Tyler Eifert has been amazing. Is that why they're already here in Tier 4, or did I just give you new information and you're going to move them up to Tier 3 now?
No, I'm on Tyler Eifert for sure. I think that if any tight end that is currently going in the double-digit rounds, like Eifert's ADP is like the 10th or 11th round, if any guy is going to leap into the second or third tier, it would be Tyler Eifert from this group. You know, he played 8 snaps last season, and he caught 3 balls for 37 yards. In that first game, it was very, very clear that Hugh Jackson wanted to get him the rock. Marvin Jones has been kind of in and out of practice. Mohamed Sanu isn't very good. You know, there's a pretty good chance that Tyler Eifert could be the Bengals' number 2 target this year. I mean, he also runs the routes that Andy Dalton throws the best. Julius Thomas is a guy that, you know, in Denver, his value was so much derived from scoring TDs. He was never a heavily targeted player. So could he make the transition from a guy who isn't going to score a lot of TDs, because no one on the Jaguars is probably going to score a lot of touchdowns? Can he make the transition to being a target monster? You know, I think that he could, but I think that that's a question mark. And that's why he's toward the end of my, you know, top 12, top 13, top 14 tight ends, because I just, I could see a scenario where he scores 4 touchdowns. And then if that happens, you know, he's going to have to end up catching 75 balls to really help you in fantasy.
Tier 5 is made up of Dwayne Allen, Kyle Rudolph, Owen Daniels, Antonio Gates, Austin Seferian Jenkins. Quite a motley crew here. I guess the one that jumped out to me is Kyle Rudolph. I know he's had some injury issues. I thought he looked pretty good in the preseason opener. He's always been talented. So why is he tier 5, but Jordan Cameron's tier 3? Both talented guys with some injury issues. So why is one tier 5, the other one's tier 3?
I think Jordan Cameron is more talented than Kyle Rudolph. I mean, and that would mostly be the extent of it. I think that I also like the QB play a little bit better in Miami, and the pace of the offense is pretty good in Miami with Bill Lazor kind of running a Chip Kelly style offense. That is going to create more opportunity for their skill position players. With that said, I do like Rudolph. He's a guy who goes 12th and 13th round often. And so he's really, really cheap. And he falls into this tier, which is Dwayne Allen, Kyle Rudolph, Owen Daniels, Antonio Gates, Austin Seferian Jenkins, of guys that are, you know, the touchdown dependent portion of the tight end rankings. Dwayne Allen is not going to be heavily targeted in Indianapolis with all those pass catchers there, but he's probably still their best red zone weapon. Last year had 8 touchdowns, had some injury issues of his own. But he's going to be a pretty good bet for weekly scores playing in that offense. Kyle Rudolph is a guy who, when he has stayed healthy, and that's been rare, has shown the ability to score a lot of touchdowns. Owen Daniels playing in Denver, you know, probably not going to catch 75, 80 balls, but he might catch 50 and 70 and 7 touchdowns. So that can be useful on a week-by-week basis. Antonio Gates last year did not catch a lot of balls, but did score 12 touchdowns. He's not going to score 12 touchdowns again, especially considering that he's, you know, suspended for the first 4 games. But when he comes back on a weekly basis, he's going to be a solid bet to pay off with a TD. And I think that the same can be said for Austin Seferian Jenkins. Now, if something goes wrong, my kind of take on Austin Seferian Jenkins is that he's probably not going to explode until Vincent Jackson is gone from Tampa Bay. And Vincent Jackson is getting old. He has high base salaries. He's probably gone after this season, even if he has a solid year. And I just, you know, it's hard for me to imagine, because I think we all have high expectations for Mike Evans. We have reasonably high expectations for Vincent Jackson. And it's hard for me to imagine Jameis Winston supporting 3 big-time fantasy players. I think that Seferian Jenkins, though, will be a decent bet for touchdowns. And he's another guy you can get really late, 12th, 13th, 14th round.
Tier 6, Heath Miller, Larry Donnell, Vernon Davis, Jordan Reed. Charles Clay, Kobe Fleener. I mean, it's got to be a sad day when Vernon Davis and Charles Clay listen to this podcast and realize that they're now tier six tight ends.
Yeah, and you know, I've tried to have some optimism for Charles Clay. He's actually in a good spot because, I mean, I think he could definitely be the number two pass option in Buffalo, but the quarterback situation is terrible. Apparently, he hasn't been getting any targets in training camp practices. You know, I was optimistic about him at first, but I've bumped him down a little bit. This tier is mostly made up of guys that, you know, might finish among the top 12 tight ends if they stay healthy, but are dicey as starters. Like, maybe you could rotate two of these guys, but you don't want these guys, you know, being an every week starter for you by any means. Heath Miller was a guy who did finish top 12 last year, only had three touchdowns though, and had a lot of games where he was just meh, you know. Larry Donnell started off really, really hot last year, really, really slowed down after that Redskins game where he had like three touchdowns. His pace stats for the rest of the season were like 50 catches and like four or five touchdowns. Vernon Davis looked like he just fell off the cliff last year. He used to be a good blocker, was one of the worst blocking tight ends in the league. I don't know if he still wants to play football. Jordan Reed always hurt. Kobe Fleener, I don't know how many balls he's going to get this year with. They have so many wideouts. Are they going to play a lot of two tight ends still? Because they use a first-round pick on Philip Dorsett. They signed Andre Johnson to a three-year, $21 million deal. They bring back T.Y. Hilton, who they're trying to lock up. And they still got Dante Moncrief, who really flashed as a rookie. And they got Dwayne Allen to be their every-down tight end. How many snaps is Kobe Fleener going to end up playing?
Right, and all I hear is how many plays Daron Carter's making, too, which is a good point.
That, too.
Last but not least, Tier 7 is a pretty large one. It seems like these are all flyer-type guys. Eric Ebron, Jared Cook, Ladarius Green, Max Williams, Ben Watson, Josh Hill, Jacob Tammy, Richard Rodgers, Niles Paul, Jace Amaro, Michael Rivera. I guess the ones that jump out to me here, you know, you spent a lot of time this offseason boy, what can I say that's not bad to say on a podcast? Being very excited about Josh Hill. I was going to say something, but I'm not going to say it. Anyway, what happened to your Josh Hill love?
Being wrong? Being wrong.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens when the games start. You know, right now he's the number two tight end behind Ben Watson, and all the beat writers are saying that Josh Hill is probably not going to be a big part of their passing game. You know, maybe he'll be like the Saints version of Zach Ertz, but like a lowercase Zach Ertz. I mean, Zach Ertz was almost a first round pick. Josh Hill was an undrafted free agent. So maybe he'll be like their lowercase Zach Ertz, where he plays in, you know, sub package downs, but he just doesn't get a ton of playing time. And maybe he'll have a few good weeks here and there. But if he's not beating out Ben Watson, who turns 35 later this year, that's not a good sign for Josh Hill in all likelihood.
No, you're right about that. Anybody? Oh, Niles Paul is the other one in Tier 7. I mean, everything, it sounds like the Redskins are loving him. He's our strongest guy, pound for pound. He's starting. Yet you still have him below Jordan Reed.
I don't know, man. I still think that Niles Paul is like a dart throw tight end. You know, it's like you don't really know what you're going to get. Will they use them both? Will they use one a lot and then, you know, go three receivers with Garcon and DeSean Jackson and Andre Roberts or this kid Ryan Grant or this kid Jamison Crowder? You know, I don't really have a good feel for the playing time. It does look like Niles Paul is ahead on the depth chart. He's also had injury issues in the past. He's actually hurt, banged up right now. You know, it's just I don't know. You know, I don't feel good about either of them. I don't have like a confident statistical projection for either of them.
Let's move on, Bri.
Next meal.
So, Evan, we've got some people that contributed via PayPal that we want to get to at least one email. I think we got one that definitely contributed that we want to get to that email. But first, I just want to emphasize the unbelievable opportunity we have from Jeffrey Stein over at MyFantasyLeague.com. 10 MFL 10 giveaways, 2 MFL 25s, 1 MFL 50, 1 MFL 100. So before I get into how people can win some of them next week and announce today's winners, can you just, for the people that still aren't really that into MFLs, they still don't really get it, MFL 10s, can you just express once again how big a deal this is?
It's a huge deal. I mean, My Fantasy League is giving away free money. If you win the MFL 100, you get $800. You're competing against 12 other guys. If you come in second, you get $200. If you win the MFL 25, you get $250. If you win an MFL 10, you get $100, and you get a, and if you come in second, you get a free entry into an MFL 10 next year. This is literally giving away free money. I mean, I hope that we get some fish to come in these leagues so I can win them, because I want the money.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. There's 14 entries total. Today's winners are ones that have tried to get into the Fantasy Feast League. They've expressed some interest in MFL 10s as well. Grant Vix, Scott Busby, Matthew White. All you need to do is email me, ross@rostucker.com, with your My Fantasy League username and your email. Well, obviously, I'll have your email address, and then I'll let you know. I'll tell the My Fantasy League people, and I'll let you know which free league, you know, which giveaway free league you're able to get into. Very important, by the way, giving out 11 more the next 2 weeks, including a lot of them next week, and the $100 one, and the MFL 100. When you're doing the stuff you're doing to try to get in the Feast League, the iTunes rankings and comments for both the College Draft Podcast and the Fantasy Feast Podcast, send me an email and make sure you tell me if you're interested in the MFL 10 or not. Because I don't. Some of you might not be. So let me know if you want in on these MFL 10 leagues, because I want to give those away to people that want them as well. Let's do one email, Bri.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
Email address rtfp@rostucker.com. Simply put fantasy in the subject line, or you can just email me directly, ross@rostucker.com, if you take advantage of any of the sponsors at rostucker.com, or sign up for DraftKings with our code, or even just use our Amazon banner ad or contribute via PayPal, any of those things. Forward that to me directly, ross@rostucker.com, and we'll get you in here. We're going to get to a bunch of emails next week because we're doing Tears of Evan for kickers and defenses. I honestly can't wait. Tears of Evan for kickers and defenses. How about Tears of Evan one more time, Bri? I can't get enough. I have no idea which defenses and kickers I should pick, but now I'll know thanks to Tears of Evan next week. All right. So, as mentioned, this is the email. It's from Martin. As mentioned before, I have a keeper question for you and Evan. I play in a standard 10-team, $200 auction league, and we are trying to introduce keepers this year where we can keep up to 3 players for last year's auction value plus $10. Martin, you're already making this complicated for me, bro. Here's the choices. LeSean McCoy, $72. DeMarco Murray, $44.
Wait.
Julio Jones,
okay.
$44.
All right. He might be in the mix, okay?
Okay. I'll go slowly. Julio Jones, $44.
Julio and Murray are in the mix.
Alfred Morris, 32.
Okay.
Kyrie Robinson, 11.
No.
Darren McFadden, 11.
No.
Travis Kelce, 11.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep. Kelce, DeMarco Murray, and Julio.
Say it again.
Kelce at 11, DeMarco Murray and Julio at 43.
Okay. So here's my only thing, though. Do you like DeMarco at 44 more than Alfred Morris at 32?
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting. Okay. Well, there's your question, Martin. Thank you for your PayPal contribution. I'd go Alfred Morris just to be different, but absolutely Julio and Kelce. Kelce for 11. Absolutely. Good question. We'll get to some more emails. Probably get to a bunch of emails next week because we're just doing defenses and kickers, and I'm pretty sure. Look, he might do tiers for me because I begged him to do tiers of Evan for kickers and defenses because I love tiers of Evan, but he's not going to have as much to say about it, that's for sure. So let's get to a bunch of emails next week. Hopefully a lot of you are going to be winners of the MFL 10 League or get into the redraft league. I've already said twice what you need to do to accomplish that. And we'll be giving out a lot of winners next week. Winners everywhere. All you got to do is an iTunes ranking and comment over for the new College Draft podcast and the Fantasy Feast podcast, along with the other boxes that many of you have already checked. Stick a fork in us. I think we're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
This week on the Big Podcast with Shaq, NFL Network star Rich Eisen co-pilots the show.
You called yourself the Black Rich Eisen, allowed me to call myself the White Shaquille O'Neal. Was that still in play?
The phone lines are buzzing with A-listers like George Lopez.
Mr. Trump is going to motivate Latinos to get registered. Listen, I'm going to vote three times. I got three birth certificates, so I'm going three times.
And Shaq's little buddy, Justin Bieber.
Justin, I haven't seen you since the roast. Are you upset with me?
Not at all, man. It was all fun and games.
Got on stage and said, hey, I'm just a young kid having fun. I'm a changed man. And then I'm at the airport and I see you getting on your private plane going to Las Vegas to have a good time.
The Big Podcast with Shaq. It's up right now at podcastone.com.